O most heavenly, gracious, powerful, merciful, long-suffering God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your patience in teaching us, your patience in our grasping what you taught and teach, your patience demonstrated in patiently waiting, calling us to action, and yet waiting for us to come to action. You have called us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And that is our prayer today, that you would ignite our hearts, that you would touch us in such a way that the integrity of our desires is born forth out of the what we do with it, what we take action upon. So we pray that your spirit would guide us now in our time of study. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the question I'll pose out there, totally subjective question. Thus far, what has impacted you most from this series, whether it be clarity of the issues, a sense of alarm, insight on what identities, what identifies, insight on what identifies justice, maybe a conclusionary statement that you've developed, maybe some next steps you're thinking about, or anything else. I've given you a whole host of different categories you can go off into. Is there anything that you can say, you know what, the study has benefited me by X? And I do realize that it may be such that I need to prime the pump and maybe ask this a little bit later after we got a chance to digest some more. Anybody before we get started want to post anything? Go ahead. Okay.
One of the things that it has done is I have alienated myself from my college roommate who has lived all her life in Chicago and has been a union teacher. And so we started to connect again as being retired and started to talk about what was going on. And she, as Gary will testify, she called one time and just the language that was used. And honestly, she almost seemed kind of like somewhat semi-demon possessed. We had never done that before, and we were fairly close, but our commonality was always teaching, and so we were talking about that. So, and I really was stronger and more courageous to really go back to her. So I think for me, it's becoming more courageous. Knowing, you know, all of you are in the back of my mind when I will go to say something, because I know who has my back, the right side. So that friendship is pretty much over, and that's after 45 years, I guess. You know, went to each other's weddings, buried her parents, and I think it's over. Mm. So, and it had to be. We just got to the point where...
And she is a disciple of the new order. She buys into that.
Okay.
You know, hook, line, and sinker. She says she's a Christian, but there's no fruits on that at all.
So. Sure. Anybody else? I will share with you, in looking back, I had started to develop a theology that said, preach the gospel and society will work itself out, rather than preach the gospel and share the good news of Christ in such a way that you're also sharing the righteousness of Christ. You're looking for entry points into these people's lives by way of what is unrighteous, to share with them the righteous one who has come to deal with that unrighteousness. It's amazing how you can fall into that, where it's almost an inward focus of, I'm the pastor, I've spent all my time doing what I'm supposed to and called to do, prepare for preaching, interact with the sheep, counsel the sheep, whatever it might be, but losing touch with my world, the community I live in. And so I found myself reconnecting this past series with the Center for Arizona Policy. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. I used to be engaged with them. It's a group of leaders that try and influence the laws that are before us and thereby influence our society. I found myself engaging more. And my wife loves to listen to the podcast, The Briefing by Al Mohler. It gives you what's going on in the world, and then he gives you a Christian worldview on what's going on in the world. And I had, again, let that kind of go. I used to enjoy that and make time for that, and no longer made time for it because it was good work, but it was isolating me from seeing my community. So there's a couple things where this has been helpful to me to open back up and make sure there's a balance of what I'm seeing and doing. Go ahead, Gary.
I'm finding it's a matter of perception at times, because my age group has grown into this. I mean, I was raised in an era where abortion was still illegal and gay rights was nothing. And my son's age, okay, he's been born into this where, mm-hmm. you know, abortion's legal and gay rights have rights, right? So, I mean, I'm a lot more defensive, okay, and combative about the changes mm-hmm. than what he may be. And he's a Christian man, strong a Christian man, but he's just been born into this. And, you know, it's up to us, I guess, or up to the Lord, you know, to see this is not right. There's something happening that is not from God. That's
good.
What I think.
We need to still help and encourage and let people help even Christians see what's like, much like myself, that, hey, we've gotten to a place where we're kind of looking the other way and society continues to go a direction that is not honoring God, whatever that may be. Okay, with that, let's jump into our reading. Oh, Jennifer, 1 second, we'll get a mic for you.
I would say my prayer life has changed in that I pray for others differently, especially those who I know are like the New World Order type. I pray for them very differently than I pray for other Christians.
Okay, that's good. That's wonderful. So you're taking it right to the throne. That's great. Wonderful, as we all should be doing. All right, so chapter 10 is entitled Teach Kings, Exhorting Civil Authorities to Kiss the Son, and that would be the Son of God, who is ruling and reigning by the right hand of God. Okay, so let's get a status check. Who wants to read that? Or Mark, just have whoever is willing to read and go down the line. Read that first paragraph, and this is the part where we'll be doing a lot of reading and maybe an occasional commenting by myself.
What am I reading?
Status check there,
okay.
Cindy.
Okay. Modern Christian teaching has not supplied enough instruction to the dynamics of our civil life. Pastors have left those engaging in the political sphere with far too little truth, and they often fall into the temptation of adopting the methods of unbelievers. Those methods arising from reliance on human wisdom include partisan slander and various forms of manipulation.
Can I say something real quick? I heard somebody recently, even in our own church, say, well, we don't want to bring politics into the church. And I would agree with that if your understanding of politics is the pastor telling you how to vote. However, we live in a society, and if you understand that politics are those laws that dictate how this society runs, then for us to disengage from that is to us to stop being light unto darkness. So we've got to understand what our words mean and what carries forth with them. So again, I was raised with the understanding you don't talk about politics. I get that. I'm not about the ugly side of I'm going to come in your face and tell you why you're terrible and why my side is right and da 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 da. Now, if that's what politics is, I agree with that. However, if politics is what it really needs to be, which is what it really is, which is the society and how it functions, then I'm not going to back down talking about what my society looks like and how I need to be engaged in it as light into darkness. Okay, so let's first paragraph there. Kings serve the kings, King of Kings.
The year of our Lord 2020 bestowed many gifts on American citizens that we would prefer to return. But through the rioting, looting, moral posturing, and overreaching governors, God granted us the opportunity to check up on a foundational doctrine. the Christian doctrine that Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is not merely a king, he is the king. He is not merely king of the church, he is not only king of the heaven. He is king of body and soul, blood and dirt, and king over the civil realm. We know this because, as we discussed before, the authorities are the ministers of God.
The one thing I want to give a little understanding to, when he refers to overreaching governors, he's talking about governors who reach into the authority of the church and tell the church that the church can't meet. That's what that's the context that he speaks of, and you'll see that come back up again. Okay, so now let's go into the Christian's responsibility, bullet point A, pray for civil authorities, right in line with what Jennifer was saying. Who would like to read that next paragraph?
Teaching kings includes praying for them. We have operated for far too long without God in our civil government. There will be no recovery of the fear of God among our civil leaders without revival. We cannot manufacture what needs to be done. The godless worldview that advances among us consists of identifying problems with a human eye and fixing them with a human hand. But the mind and aid of God do not enter into the equation. While Christians are all for identifying and fixing problems, we know that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Our prayers themselves set us apart from the new religion. We are a people who humble ourselves and pray, knowing only God can heal.
Okay, and then someone take the 1 Timothy passage.
1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time.
Thank you. Now he's going to give what that looks like within the family construct. So whoever is next up to read.
Families ought to seek the welfare of their civil authorities through prayer in the home. Our sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters ought to grow up in homes where civil leaders are named before the throne of grace. Likewise, church worship should include intercession for civil magistrates.
Something I found about that, if I am raging against a particular evil politician, and when I say evil, they are proposing evil. They are their desire is to see that evil come about in society. When I'm raging against the man or the woman, there's typically a direct correlation to my lack of prayer. Naming them in prayer. The more I rage to the individual about the individual, drop names, whatever, the more I realize I haven't been praying for them particularly. They've become a faceless entity of evil, and they need God's salvation. I don't know if that's the case with you, but I have learned that in my own life. So when maybe you're like me, and you're able to get stirred up, and you talk about how evil this person is, and pretty soon you realize you're in this frenzy with your friends. That is not a good frenzy. It's not a God-honoring frenzy. And so we need to step back and say, whoa, let's pray. Let's pray for this. This person needs Christ. And Christ is the only one that's going to change this person. So just something. Unfortunately, I fall to that more than not. My wife will let me know. Okay. And it's a good thing she lets me know.
We probably all do, right?
Yeah, we all probably.
I'm reminded of a book that this book, I started me reading another book, and one of the things that stuck with me in it is when we get to that point, just say, repeat to yourself, they're an image bearer, they're an image bearer, they're an image bearer, just like I'm an image bearer.
Yeah. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. And that goes just along with our sermon today, so thank you, Mark. Okay. Let's talk about preach to civil authorities. So we said point A, pray for civil authorities. Now point B is preach to civil authorities.
We see this very kind of truth-telling in Psalms 2. The psalmist says, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth, Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm 2:10-12. We preach the truth to them with the respect due to an image bearer, but we must also keep in mind they are quite often men and women who are fallen and dead in their trespasses. They are in need of a Savior.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Okay, let's go down to the next paragraph.
If they are civil servant leaders and they are also believers, we must not only preach to them, we must disciple them. We must teach them to observe all he has commanded, Matthew 28:20. Discipleship must include the bread and butter of repentance and faith that marks any Christian's life. They must read the scripture, pray, worship God with the church, and fulfill family obligations and commitments. Christian civil authorities are not exempt from pastoral care, instruction, and discipleship.
And what he was getting at in the book, he was implying, is that sometimes we put politicians on the same pedestal that we put anybody we esteem, almost like, I'll use a term that's probably not exactly connecting with this group, but a rock star status. And they are, it's seen as okay that they miss a lot of church, that they may not, you know, they got time to slip in and slip out. They don't have time to do Sunday school, if there's a small group, a men's group, a women's group, whatever it is. And the point he's making is, don't forget our politicians that are in our own congregations. They need to be discipled. They're the ones that are taking God's word out there. Are they actually bearing forth that which is accurate? And so I thought that was a bold statement on their part. He nuanced it well. Just something not to overlook. There's nobody in the congregation that should want or be given a pass at doing this, at wanting to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, that we might be changed and we might take that change to a darkened world that is in desperate need of a Savior who can bring change to their hearts. Okay. Let's go into model and lead in the civil realm. This is now kind of a shift. This is, look, what his suggestion or this book's premise is that you need to look for that which has the greatest impact on society. It's not excluding our individual impact with our neighbors, but you need to look for what's going to have the greatest impact. So that's where he's dealing with model and lead in the civil realm. So with that, let's go ahead. Whoever wants to take that first little sentence and then take the next three bullet points, and then we'll just divide up the paragraphs from there.
Okay. Christians must teach our civil leaders by modeling civil leadership and the happy assumption of responsibility for the neighbor and nation. Christians must, 1, become much more involved in city council meetings, county assemblies, and the state of this society in general. We must educate ourselves on the wisdom that Scripture provides regarding civil life. And 3, and we must educate ourselves on how our particular cities, countries, or I should say counties, states, and nation matches up to that picture.
So that's interesting. I'm challenged in this area. When he got to this bullet point, I'm like, how am I doing in this? And I'm not doing so well. Let's keep going.
Work is required if we are to take responsibility in these ways. We have heard stories of civil officials simply not hearing from Christians. They hear from people with other agendas, and those voices shape our civil leaders' rule.
You bet they do. Okay, next paragraph.
Christians have failed to engage civilly, in part because of a faulty doctrinal understanding. We have retracted from political engagement, often due to despair. As a new religion rises, there is great temptation to pull back even further. Some may think that we simply need to labor in our churches and go underground. Of course, we need to labor in our churches, and hardship, maybe even regular persecution, appears to be on the horizon.
It does. He's talking about kind of what I had started to fall into, that you're only laboring inward and you have no responsibility outward to the community God has sovereignly placed you in. So go ahead.
But more than ever, we need Christians who are unashamed to live publicly for Christ. We need pastors ready to go to prison if church bans remain or increase. We need Christians bearing witness in city meetings to what God has said about abortion. We need open conversations full of grace and truth and seasoned with salt about the best city, county, state, and national policies on a whole host of issues.
So interesting. We know because Pete mentioned it. He prayed about it last week. Our missionary, Michael Amati, in Ireland, not a third world country, a first world country. He said, please pray for us. I might be going to jail this week. And he says, I'm the one in authority. I'm in the pulpit. So when they enter the church, it will be me that they arrest. It won't be the people necessarily. And I thought, wow, we really are here. You know, we always wonder if it'll be our generation. We're here. The pastor next, just down the city down from him, was arrested the previous week out of the pulpit. Taken away. And that's a first world country. You can see the rhetoric against Christians in this first world country. The time is coming. We need to be prepared to realize the reality of what it means to be a Christian in this world. Let's do this. Mark, I'm going to ask that we actually read the bullet point 4 and then ask the final question. I'll take the questions at the end and I'll pose them to everybody. So just grab one more person to read bullet point 4, things not done in a corner.
In the Bible, those who followed God were always getting in trouble in the civil realm. They were not merely losing civil influence and freedoms while quietly accepting it, which sadly is the case in America quite often. We must resolve to bear witness to Christ, his gospel, and his kingdom. As we do, we will join with our forefathers in seeing the glorious impact of God's word in our civil life. We are not guaranteed exactly what that impact will look like, but we are guaranteed that it will be glorious because our faithfulness brings glory to God.
Amen. Interesting. That when I was taught and I learned and grasped that God looks at me to be faithful and recognize that he will take the faithfulness and use it the way he wants to, rather than me saying it has to have a particular outcome, it sure made a different mindset for me as I carried on. It took that yoke that is so heavy off my shoulders and said, wait a second, God's the one who changes the hearts and minds of men and women. I just need to be faithful and be communicating or do whatever it is. So we need to be reminded that it's our faithfulness. And this is part of our faithfulness in this. So, Mark, if you don't mind, we can transition. I'm going to put these questions out to everybody and continue to ad lib until you get passed out all of the examples that I've got here. And what I have for questions here, what do you think about this challenge to engage our society, our community? Some of you may say, I think we're allowing the social gospel to creep in here and we only should be preaching the gospel. And so we can talk about that. What would it look like for Redeemer, I'm speaking the church, to engage this sector of our community here in North Phoenix? What would it look like to say we're going to engage North Phoenix or engage Phoenix or engage the Valley? We all definitely live in the Valley, at least. And then number 3, how do we impact justice in our community through our engagement with our leaders? So what I have done and what I've asked Mark to do is pass out some of this. I'm going to go through this. I'm just going to read this, and then hopefully this is going to prime the pump for a greater discussion. This is entitled Bringing Justice to Our Community. And what I did is I've been interacting with the Center for Arizona Policy. They've been very gracious to interact with me by way of email, and I hope to have a meeting in person set up with them in the near future. And I said, what are you doing to bring about justice in our community? I know you guys, that's your whole goal through legislation. And he said, well, let me send you the 5 top initiatives for 2021. And they are advocating for the sanctity of human life from its very beginning to its natural end, standing for the rights of parents to oversee the upbringing, education, and health care of their children, which is interesting in light of our discussion last week on education and how, you know, which sector of education, which methodology, I guess, would be a better way that you choose. All of it comes with a responsibility, whether it's homeschool, Christian school, or public school. Number three, ensuring that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution continues to mean what the founders intended, that all are free to live and work according to their beliefs. So that definitely affects us as Christians. Number four, protecting homeschools and private schools from government mandates and control, and that deals with there is legislation in California right now that mandates that they must teach transgender doctrine to the children at, I'm talking ridiculously young age of kindergarten. I mean, it's bad enough that it's there, but I mean, it is truly brainwashing indoctrination. So you see, protecting homeschools and private religious schools from government mandates and control. Everything starts on the coast and works to the middle of the country. So if you think it's not going to come to Arizona, you're kidding yourself. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I just had a question, Nate. Do you know if... Thanks.
Okay, in the legislation in California, because I haven't followed this like I need to, is this just happening in the public schools, or are they mandating it for all, like even private and homeschooling?
Right now it's in the public schools.
What's happening?
Right now it's only in the public schools. And I say only, but once it gets a foothold there, it'll keep going.
If there's government money.
Yeah, if you use government money, that's a good point.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's not bad enough.
Yeah, no. You're just trying to get a feel for where the progression is and how deep of trouble we're in. Number five, opposing policies that lead children into unhealthy lifestyles. Again, that deals with transgender and all of the LBG. Let's see if I get this right. Help me out. I know it's LGBT plus.
LGBTQ plus.
Q plus. There you go. Which are people that are seriously confused and need the truth of Christ in their lives. Absolutely. If we think of them as image bearers that are confused on what it means to bear the image of God, we will have the compassion that we need to engage them rather than criticize them. Okay, other suggestions. Now, I got a hold of, we used to have a family that came here that is no longer coming to Redeemer, that was very engaged in politics. In fact, he is a precinct committee man. I'm kind of surprised that you still use the word committee man. I remember when I was on PD, we changed everything to committee person. I'm actually okay with that because, particularly in the PD, we had a lot of women, and so I'm okay with that. He's a committee man, and which means that he sees everything coming in, and he makes sure that everybody has information on legislation distributed out to them. So I said, hey, would you mind doing me a favor? Put on your committee man hat. I know you're a Christian, and give me some ideas on what it would look like to engage our community. And these are his suggestions. First one's for me, preach the gospel. And then second one, also for me, pastors should use their influence with other pastors to engage them to preach on the same topics, even possibly sharing the study material with them. I had sent him all six outlines of the study we've done, and he said, are you willing to share this with other churches that you associate with so that they can teach these same things? I thought, that's fascinating. Why make it difficult to them? Make it easy for them. Number three, interesting enough, Cindy just got this delivered this week. To her. She was on the pre-published list. Read Vody Bachum's just-released book, Fault Lines. It'll give you an idea of what the culture, what is happening in the culture, and how it, where its progression is going, so you can understand it greater. Prayer. Consider hosting prayer events to pray for the nation in your homes. That's a great idea. I like that. Maybe, you know, we're going to rev up starting the 18th next week. Our prayer service again. Maybe one of the services we have normally lots of different categories of a prayer we use. Maybe we need to set aside that whole time, one of the days, to pray for our nation. That would be a powerful thing to do and a God-honoring thing to do. Five, become a Maricopa Precinct Committee person. You notice I changed that. If you go on the website, it says chairman, committee men. There are hundreds of current openings. I think he said thousands, but I didn't want to misquote him. He said there are so many openings that are, that it's amazing that nobody, he says it's amazing that Christians aren't filling these positions, because this is an opportunity to get this information out to the rest of the public. Most of the public doesn't even know what's in front of them at the legislature. Okay, let's see. Attend a precinct. He's talking about the voting precinct, committee person precinct meetings, which happen monthly, to learn about the upcoming issues. That's something all of us could do. Run for school boards, city councils, and elected office. I mean, we could show up. We could show up or run, depending on where your availability is. This is where I, me personally, I'll be frank with you, I don't have the time. It would take away from my ability to do what I'm called to do, to preach to the church, and to. But it's certainly something. The meetings are something that I think of, and I think, well, I could go to the meetings. Let's see. Attend city council meetings and city and school board meetings and voice your opinions. Number nine, get vocal with your state and local officials. Comment on every issue and potential legislation. The legislature has a system called. He added me to his link that on this issue, and I've started getting requests to speak. Did you know that you can fill out? You can electronically say, "I want to speak." And you can, that allows you to go down to the legislature, and they will hear you, give your opinion on whatever it is that's in front of them. You get a mandated amount of time. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. Interestingly enough, I knew that happened at the city council level. I didn't know that happened at the state level. I thought that was done outside this legislative chambers. It requires getting set up, but allows you to publicly comment as official parts of the legislative process on bills in the Arizona House and Senate. And then I've got some even more suggestions here. You'll recognize one of these as my own. The first one, stay current on national events and get a Christian worldview by watching, could be watching or listening to, the briefing authored by Al Mohler. Anybody partake in that? I listen to it. Mark does. Jacob does. There are other people do. Did you have yours up? Yeah, you do. Woo-hoo! I'd love to see our young people doing it too, because that means that, I mean, the culture is getting it. So that's a great way of knowing and getting a Christian worldview. There are times when Mohler will say something, I'm thinking, that is a brilliant use of Scripture. I would never have thought Scripture addressed that issue in that manner. And so, I mean, and Mohler is brilliant.
When is the podcast?
Actually, you can go down and down.
Online?
No, you can download. If you've got a smartphone, you can download a podcast, and you can listen to it anytime you want by doing that. Unless it's the day of, and then I don't know when it comes out the day of. I'm normally a day or two behind. So it's called The Briefing. If you go onto your smartphone and say whatever you say to get it, I have a. They call it podcast. Is it a different word? Help me out, you younger people. Podcast, am I right? Jake, good.
It's interesting that it has that name, isn't it? Because it comes from the iPod, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I would think.
Yeah, that's way outdated now. You would call it a filmcast or whatever.
Mm. Indeed. Okay, number two, engage your neighbors with hospitality by inviting them to dinner. I mean, that's just a standard thing we need to do, to just engage our neighbors. And that they, if for no other reason, that they understand that you're not a nut because you're a Christian. You see what I'm saying? And I know that's not the main reason, but it's there's a way. But I mean, seriously, sometimes the world teaches them that Christians are all a bunch of nuts and we're all brain dead, and we have, you know, we've all been indoctrinated in a doctrine that is hate, and they don't understand the love of Christ. So, you know, we need to engage the world at least at that level. To bring glory to the name of God. What are some other things that you can think of we might do? I have primed the pump. Okay, we've got Sean and we've got Jennifer back there as well.
Okay, so, you know, I don't know, getting more involved politically is something I've been thinking about for a while, probably about 8 years, and I haven't done it yet. And I will tell you the primary reason I haven't done it. And just see if this rings with you. You know, it's time. So The reason I bring this up is, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else, so it's something I need to do. But I, you know, you look at this list, it's very easy to go down the list and go, yep, 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 we need to do all these things. And then you go, well, where am I going to do it? You know? And so I think that, I think one of the things that we need to do as a church, you know, not just our church, but every church, you know, we all need to think about, like, and pray seriously about how we're spending our time. And maybe we need to examine, you know, spend considerable amount of time in prayer before the Lord and say, you know, where are my priorities? Are there things that I need to give up so that I can go after these? And, you know, and some, for some of us, the answer is going to be no. I mean, Nick's already mentioned, you know, ministry challenges. He feels like he needs to prioritize everything here. And that, and God may very well say that, but then for others of us, you know, there may be things where, if we're spending too much time watching TV or doing certain hobbies or whatever, that we need to give those up to be able to get active.
That's a good point. I would say the easiest place to get started is if you go on, and I've got it listed there in blue on the top third, azpolicy.org, and get signed up for their email account. What they didn't do this last time I was engaging with them, and it's been probably since we planted the church in 2018. I pulled back on a lot of different things to make sure I focused on this. But they didn't do what they do now, and that is I'm getting all the bills that are going before the Arizona State Legislature, and I can sign them in agreement with them, and they send it off, counted as an official yes support thereof, so the number goes up, and there's a name behind it and whatnot. I'm going to have a meeting with, let's see if I've got his name here. One of the directors is the one that I've been emailing with. His first name is Chris. And he says, hey, I'd love to meet with you. And I said, I'd love to meet with you. I want to know what I'm failing to do that I could do in the area of engaging our community. And so, I mean, they'll meet with you. It's neat. But if you could do nothing else but do it from your computer, you can still engage by giving your support for that which they need support on, and demonstrating to your, wherever it is that you have influence over, to those legislatures that, hey, we got your back. We support this. You're not the lone voice out there. We want this to come about. So that's one way. That's a good starting place. Jennifer, you going to say something?
Donating to End Abortion Now.
Donating to End Abortion Now?
Uh-huh.
I hadn't heard that exact name.
It's endabortionnow.com. It's okay. Jeff Durbin.
Which is tied to Apologia Church.
Apologia. It started here in Arizona, and the money goes to the bill that's currently he's trying to get passed to not reduce abortion but completely abolish it by criminalizing it. And then the money also goes toward teaching other states how to get this bill passed in their state also. And wow, it's been successful. And I constantly see posts of this state is, we're literally giving over our template on how to write this.
Mm.
And this state is now writing it, and this state is now writing it.
That's
and then it
great.
Also goes toward the signs, you know, Apologia is big on standing outside the abortion clinics
and letting them know.
Creating all of those signs, as well as just holding classes in the community on the etiquette and what to expect if you are choosing to petition or protest outside a facility.
That's helpful. End Abortion Now?
EndAbortionNow.com.
Okay, I will jump on and take a look at that.
Two billboards up now.
Okay. So there's a tangible way of reaching the community by way of billboards. I did see, because of one of the people I've just now, I don't know if it's Central Arizona Policy or I just started a new app. It's called Local News. It's called Newsbreak. It's a red little app on my phone, and it gives me more local news than I have ever had. I thought, I'm going to figure out what's going on in my city again. I used to be a cop. I used to be engaged. I don't know my city anymore. And I'm getting tons of information. Well, I just found out that the Arizona legislature, Jennifer, on that bill, they chose not to vote for it because legislature changed their mind. And if they would have gone to it and they would have gone to vote, it would have killed it. So they pulled it from voting. And hopefully, and now it means engaging with that legislature later to let them see the importance of it. And so I'm praying that that legislator changes their mind, and that God will change their mind, and that it will become, interesting on that bill. It's the doctor that faces the criminal charges. That you can't perform an abortion. You can't perform an abortion healthy wise, without a doctor. So they're right in going after the doctor. Do you see what I'm saying? So that would be, and when I say right, that would end it more quickly because no doctor can't. They don't want to jeopardize their income and their ability to provide for whoever. So I didn't know if you knew that. That we got to keep praying on that issue with that. But thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that. And abortion now. Anybody else? We've got a couple more minutes. Paul?
Something under the category of engaging your neighbors. My bride here does a wonderful job of making sure our neighbors have flowers and grapefruit and other fruit delivered to their door.
That's great. That's a great way of doing it.
Well, I think, what Jennifer was saying with neighbors and so forth, I think she was saying that I've become more bold in saying I'm going to pray for you. If I know they've got something coming up, I just had a lady text me this morning who was leaving on an airplane to go to Portland, whose daughter is in an abusive situation, to get her out of that. With her gun in hand, she is ready to take action with this young man and save her daughter from the situation. I told her that I would be praying for her a week ago, and then this morning she had texted, said, I really need your prayers today. Mm. Now, this girl is as far from a church setting, as far as I know, as she can be, but somehow I think that's resonating with people today. I think they know how far this tangent has gone, and I think they have something in them is telling them we need to kind of find a way to get back. And prayer seems to resonate. So I think I'm telling them I'm praying for that, so I think that helps. So.
Amen. One of the things that I will leave us with this is that we have to be the number one defenders of justice and fight against injustice, particularly in this community. And what I mean by that is, since I've been getting local news, my eyes are being opened up to some of the complaints of the social justice gospel, a false gospel, this new religion. Their complaints are based on actual, real injustices. I read a story of a young woman. She's a snowboarder. She won the some big thing. And she is Asian. And she explained that, I told you this when we started. I had no idea. It's not in my circle. I've never seen it in my circle. It's not on the PD. I don't know. I've never seen it in Phoenix. But that's a thing in our country. And that's a thing even in our community, that Asians are looked down upon. Some of the things that she said, she just shared her story 2 days ago. I was blown away from the hate and disgusted by what I read. And to that I say, I want to come alongside that young lady and say, not in my presence, not anything I can do today. Whatever I can do to stop that, that's garbage. We will not have that. And it goes for anybody who is getting that, whatever color you happen to be, whatever disposition. I remember seeing one time a Circle K clerk, no, a 7-Eleven clerk got shot when I was on the PD. And he got shot after 9/11 because he was wearing a turban. He was a Sikh, if I said that right. They are the most loyal Americans you will find. Their mindset is to defend the country which they are a part of with their lives. And this injustice to them just help me realize on that level how many people are different than me that they have injustices I don't even know or see. Open your eyes, Nick, to the world around you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, there are real injustices, and we don't want to discount them. We want to come along. We want to be the agents of grace, the agents of change, the agents worthy to stand in the gap for those people who receive these type of injustices. We don't want to be dumb about it. We won't want to turn our heads away from it. We want to seek and try and understand our community, that we might be ministers to our community, ministering the truth of your gospel, the ability that you provide in healing souls and changing the injustices and bringing about justice and salvation. Father, we recognize that in this sin-cursed world, we may not see to the degree we'd like to see the injustices in our life changed. But never, never allow us to stop praying and engaging to see those changes take place. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.